Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Now, I don't want to start the show fighting with you, but you and I lived together for 6 years in Lakeview. We also went to college together. We didn't grow up together. We're both from Libertyville, Illinois. We went to the same high school. We were not friends in high school, but we were friendly and acquaintances.
Are you doing my best man speech right now?
I'm just running it down here because what I was going to say is, in that amount of time, you and I have never physically fought.
I threw a beer bottle at your head once.
And that's why I mentioned this here, because we didn't have time at the end of Waddle and Sylvie to get this out there. So you and I have never physically fought. But there was one night where I got on your nerves enough after a long night of drinking.
To be fair, we were really drunk. And I didn't throw the bottle at you.
You threw it at my head.
Yeah, but I've missed.
It whizzed.
I know.
Past my head.
It was just a warning shot, so you would know that I could do it.
Right.
Like if I would have hit you in the face, that would have been the end of Black, and there'd be no Black and Abdallah. That would have been it.
It would have been something.
That would have been
you
it.
That much for sure.
That would have been it. So, and to all the Twitch people, twitch.tv/ESPN1000. I'm not fighting anybody. Like, I'll eat worms before I fight somebody.
So
I just think it's
serious?
Stupid.
You wouldn't fight me for a charity event?
No, I just think it's stupid. Just take. I did this thing with the ice bucket challenge. I'll just donate. Take my money.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But like,
But
if they were pairing up everyone at the station to brawl, right? And it's Cap and Gene Greco, and they have someone for everyone matched up, and it was you and me, you wouldn't fight it?
I'll be the ref. I don't need to fight
people. You don't think to box would be fun?
I've made a couple rounds? Here's the deal.
It's because you would lose, right?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Why? I'm in better shape than you are. I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, you run in the cold. It's stupid. I don't get that. I've gone most of my adult life, most of my child life, advocating against violence. I think it's stupid.
Well, yes, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about real violence.
Dumb.
We're talking about
you're talking about
boxing
punching
event.
People in the face.
Yeah, for a charity event.
No, they just have my money.
All right. Okay. I just wanted to get that out there. I think Sylvie had a good idea. But I will say,
I'll watch other people fight. You guys can fight. I'm just not going to partake in it. I think
shout out to the old apartment back on School Street in Lakeview back in the day.
We lived together
for 6 years. Yeah,
I drove past it the other day. It's still
how's
there.
How's he doing? Holding up?
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Tell Carlos I say hello.
He had to have has a new car now.
Oh, really?
Well, I haven't seen the van in a while. but like,
yeah, it's the van.
Just based on like age. That van can't still be around.
No, I don't think. You could hear that thing coming from
that
two blocks
van's
away.
That van's older than us.
Yeah.
Like, that was like a, like, Carlos had a full, like, a, it was like a, like an old school family band, or van, you know what I mean? Like a Partridge Family
style. Yeah, one of those,
van. It's like a, not a conversion van, is that what they were called? Conversion vans?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Like the sliding door?
Yeah.
But not like a minivan. Like, this thing was a van.
Yeah, old school conversion van. Yeah. No, that's
no,
absolutely.
It had windows on the Twitter. They're asking if it had. It had windows.
No, yeah.
Like, you're not like skeptical of this vehicle.
No, you're like, that guy's grooving.
That guy's got three kids in the back. They're watching a little TV, maybe. Like, it's literally a little TV. Like, it's not like screens on the back. It's a little TV.
Yeah, and also one other thing before we get on to sports conversation. Most famous neighbor who lived above us.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Cartwright's son.
Bill Cartwright's son used
for
it as
a year,
a,
lived above us. and he parked his Hummer on the street.
He wasn't like living there, though. I think he just used it
crash
on nights
pad?
He stayed in the city.
Crash pad.
Yeah, it's a crash pad.
All right. He was a nice guy, too.
So Bill, super nice. Yeah. Way better than the kid that moved in after him.
Oh, that kid was the worst with his techno music. Oh my god! You want to talk hours of the night?
That kid was on so much coke.
That was something. Just all night long. Boom, 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 it's the worst. When you have a neighbor like that in the city, it's terrible. Awful. All right, Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to talk football with us, you can call us, talk Bears, get ready for the wild card weekend this weekend. In case you've missed it, Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky both spoke to the media earlier today. Here's Mitchell Trubisky. Are the Bears feeling the pressure, or do they have a nothing-to-lose attitude heading into this game?
I would say maybe a little bit more to the secondary one. I mean, we got nothing to lose. We got nothing to lose. We know everybody's overlooking us. They have the back half of the season. So I think we've been just playing with that edge, that chip on our shoulder, and we don't have anything to lose. So we should go out there, play free, but that doesn't mean you're going out there and not doing your job. We got to be locked into the small details of our game plan and our job descriptions and just play hard and play with a lot of passion and will. And if we do that, I think we'll give ourselves a good chance, but we got to come in playing smart and play disciplined football. But that doesn't mean coming in being uptight. I think go in, play free, and like we got nothing to lose.
Of course, you shouldn't play uptight. But I would say you're not going to go out there and freewheel it, right? Like, the way this team has been successful over the course of the last month has been because the offense has been scaled back, focusing on the run, limiting some of the throws that the quarterback has to make. So, you know, you want to go out there feeling free, but you also want to have a game plan in place, the schematics in place, to take advantage of what you can actually do. And that is run the football with David Montgomery. Montgomery had 21 carries, I believe, 96 yards against the Saints in their first matchup this season. You're going to need more from Montgomery on Sunday if the Bears are going to win this football game.
Yeah, they have to play a perfect game. And I mentioned it yesterday. The recipe to win this game is to do exactly what you did against the Packers, except for you have to convert those field goals into touchdowns. You can't, against a good offense like the New Orleans Saints, and against a good offense like the Green Bay Packers, you can't kick field goals. You have to go for it. You have to be aggressive. And they were very aggressive on going for it on fourth down, but I'm talking about when you get in the red zone, you can't just settle for field goals. You have to find a way to convert those long drives, those 7-8 minute drives that you had, into touchdowns, because the way the defense has been playing and the caliber of quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is, the caliber of weapons that the New Orleans Saints have, and they should have Alvin Kamara back as long as he recovers from COVID-19 and he's back on Sunday. They should have Michael Thomas back. You still have Drew Brees, and I know he struggles to throw the ball down the field, but he's still Drew Brees. He's still the better quarterback on the field, right? He's still better than Trubisky. He's still the better quarterback on the field.
Yeah.
They still have Taysom Hill. He's still a good weapon. He's still decent for them. So,
Taysom Hill scored a touchdown receiving pass from Brees in the last matchup.
Exactly. So, to me, you can't have missed opportunities. And I know Cairo Santos has been great, but you have to score touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals. Because the way your defense has been playing, those long drives are cool. But when the other offense comes out onto the field and they can score in 3 minutes and they're scoring touchdowns and not field goals, you're going to be out of that game real quick, like the Bears ended up being out of it against the Packers.
Here's Matt Nagy earlier today speaking at Hallis Hall. Do you feel like your team is being overlooked?
We started off at 5-1. Then we hit that 6-game stretch. Then we won 3 in a row. And then you lose to the Packers the last game of the season in a big division game. That means a lot. And so, you know, you end up 8-8 and you realize you're playing a team that has a ton of playoff experience at the head coach position and quarterback position, let alone the rest of their staff and players. And so when you look at that, you can understand where people are coming from. But the beauty of sports and the beauty of competition, and all teams understand this, is that really when you get to Sunday or you get to Saturday, whenever you play, anything can happen. And for us in our building, when you believe in each other like we do, we understand that. And so the only thing we can do is keep believing in one another, know that it's a new season, and put the best product that we can put out there on Sunday against this football team of the Saints that's playing really well. So we understand people have opinions, But at the same time, we're going to do what we know, and that's to believe in one another and play hard for each other.
So that's Matt Nagy earlier today at Halas Hall. Bluck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Last night, the Chicago Bulls, they beat the Blazers 111-108. They played the Sacramento Kings tonight. We're going to talk about that game last night. The Bulls looked really good. They came back from 20 points down. Zach LaVine looked really good last night. We're going to talk Bulls next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Last night on NBC Sports Chicago, Adam Amin and Stacey King.
Here's LaVine. Nine to shoot. Late in the clock. LaVine a three.
Stop it!
LaVine with a huge three for a four-point lead.
Oh, my goodness. I was wondering if he was going to step up and take this shot. Look how deep this is in the face of Derrick Jones Jr. Bang, bang, bang. Wow. This is what big-time players do. Big-time players, Adam, make big-time plays.
There's Adam Amin and Stacey King on NBC Sports Chicago.
I love Adam Amin. He's a friend of ours. Not just a friend of the show. Personal, we brunched together when it was okay to brunch together.
I miss those days.
So do I, so much. And no one gives a hug like Adam Amin.
No, I know.
He's a hugger.
He's the best.
He's the best. Really, he's the best. But when did we start calling Zach LaVine Logo LaVine?
I mean, when you pull up from the logo.
He didn't pull up from the logo.
No, but
like, I was like, did I hear that right? Maybe, Logo LaVine?
I mean, maybe if you want. Yeah.
I mean, shout out Lil Dicky for shouting out for Adam. I mean, you know, Adam Amin, shout out Lil Dicky, him seeing it, all the Twitter stuff. But when did we start calling him Logo LaVine?
Well, I mean, it's Logo Lillard.
Yeah, no,
Logo
it works.
Curry.
It works.
Logo LeBron.
I
right?
get it. It works. It works. The alliteration, kids love it.
So LaVine hits that three-point shot, 109-105, 10.8 left in the game. The Bulls hold on to win the contest. They were down 20 points at a certain point earlier in the first half of this contest. And really, the balanced scoring is the thing to kind of point to in the Bulls' attack. And it was also the defense. I know they gave up 108, but sometimes, like, the way the game flow happens and the fact that Portland only scored 15 points in the second quarter, like, that is something where you can tell 15 points in the second quarter, the Bulls come back and they chip away, and then they come all the way back. They take the lead. They only give up 23 points in the fourth quarter. This team is playing defense together. And I know if we look at the efficiency ratings, their defense isn't highly rated right now. But it seems to me, watching these games, eight games in, they're starting to come together as a unit. And then on the scoring side of things, Zach LaVine with 18 points in 43 minutes, going 6 for 18, 3 of 10 from 3, 9 assists with 4 rebounds and only 4 turnovers. That was one of the better games I've seen Zach LaVine play from start to finish in a Bulls uniform. And I think a lot of people who are married to the box score are going to be screaming at me through the radio right now saying, hey, Black, you're an idiot. He only scored 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Look around him. 19 from Porter, 14 from Williams, 13 from Carter, Kobe White with 21. 10 from Thad Young off the bench, 14 from Temple. The scoring was distributed around 7 players in double figures. Zach LaVine doesn't have to do everything. And to me, that's exactly what I've been preaching with Zach LaVine, the player, for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and also, Billy Donovan has gotten so much more out of this team. Like, this is a team that lineups were always an issue. They didn't make sense. You know, out-of-timeout plays never made sense. This is a team that, you know, they felt energized. They look like they feel energized. They look like they're playing with more efficiency. They're playing with more energy. Guys know what their roles are. Guys know what their jobs are, and that makes it so much better. You've got, you know, if you watch the game yesterday, he's got veterans coming in towards the end of the game to lock that game down, right? He's putting the ball in the hands of his veterans when the game is on the line, as you should. You're bringing along these young guys. You're developing these young guys, but it's not on them to carry the team yet. It's on LaVine. if he's giving out assists, if he's scoring when he has to, like taking that 3-point shot and making it, that's great. But they just look like they have so much more confidence because they all kind of know what they're supposed to be doing and when they're supposed to be doing it.
You know, there is conversation about Zach LaVine and is he a star? Is he a superstar? And I believe Danny Zimmerman asked the question, shot or no shot, to Cap'n Jay Hood this morning. I believe that's what it was, in a shot or no shot question, whether or not Zach LaVine, if we could see him becoming a superstar at some point. I think that's what the conversation was about. And you know, here's my thought on this. Can we work on Zach LaVine just being a winning player first? And, like, we'll worry about the label of a superstar or a star, or, heck, how about making one all-star first before we claim that he's a superstar? Like, you know what was great about last night? The final score, 111-108. Bulls with the victory. They're now 500, 8 games into a season, with players who have been missing. So the depth hasn't necessarily been there because they're in the COVID-19 protocols, Saransky, Markkanen. And so, like, I feel as if, like, I don't think we as a basketball society here in the state of Chicago, let's not focus on Zach LaVine. Can he be a superstar? How about Zach LaVine, the winning player? Because last night I saw Zach LaVine, the winning player. 312-332-3776.
It doesn't have to just be scoring. He doesn't have to put up 30 a night for him to be considered a superstar. It's helping the team win. And that's the bigger picture from the game we saw yesterday. And hopefully this translates into another win tonight when they face the Kings.
And if you're looking for stars or superstars, I'd be pretty pumped up about Coby White scoring 21, getting 10 rebounds, 5 assists, playing good defense against Dame and CJ McCollum, and being able to be out there for 39 minutes on a unit that played good defense against one of the best scoring teams in the league, in the Blazers. And also Patrick Williams chipping in, and it seemed to me in the fourth quarter, he was out there for a lot of it, that like the stage wasn't too bright. He was hitting corner threes, he was making his moves to the basket. I like what I saw last night. Mike in Hoffman Estates here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? Boys, this is kind of like, I have some main points. I just want to express my happiness on the Bulls. That's really it. I mean, here's how I look at it. Alone, just from coaching, you literally could take the same roster from last year. Alone, the coaching is so much better that I can actually watch a game and somewhat not feel that we're going to choke this game away. If that was last year's coach, we would have for sure lost that game. The fact that they're playing this way 8 games in just shows that the potential that's just been that we haven't been able to show for the last, even obviously before Boylan, but just the years of Boylan. I'm happy that I have a Bulls team that looks like they can play respectable basketball. Okay, obviously, yeah, playoffs, maybe 6-7 seed. I mean, maybe 6 is even a little generous, but we finally have a team in upward position, and I'm just happy that the Bulls, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I understand the Bulls are not back, but the Bulls are back a little bit.
They're moving in the right direction, yeah. Right, Mike?
Mike, you make a good point, right? Because you said playoffs, 6-7 seed maybe. Before the season started, you and I were talking, Chris, and I said I wouldn't be upset if they didn't make the playoffs. You want them to be a playoff team. You want them to get in, get the experience of making the playoffs. But if I see more games like this where, you know, they're a 9.5-point dog going into yesterday's game. We've seen them, you know, they were under 500. They've won a few games here in a row. But normally from this Bulls team, they would beat the bad teams and get trucked by the really good teams and compete with the okay teams with where they were. I want to see this kind of development. I want to see them start winning some of these games. I want to see them compete with the Lakers on Friday. You know, I want to see them play up to the competition and not just roll up when they're playing a team that's good. That's what I want to see. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm still fine with that. I want to see them compete with these good teams like they did yesterday.
Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Salim?
How's it going? Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year's, man. What's going on?
Not much. You guys wanted to call in, talk about the Bulls. First off, I completely agree with you about Zach LaVine this time, Chris. There's no disagreements here. I'm calling in about. I'll say last night, Zach, obviously the conversation about Zach's star and not a star. Last night, that is how a star plays. When your scoring isn't there, like your shooting isn't there, you find other ways to really impact your team to win. You already talked about his playmaking. He was also playing good defense. And then when you need it in late clutch situations, he hit a big shot to really seal the win for the Bulls. And really, for all this that's happening, I think you really have to credit Billy Donovan. You have to. I mean, yeah, the Bulls have started out with some bad losses, but you know, it's a young team that's continued to improve, even though it's a really early short season so far. And that's, again, without Lowry and Sato with the Aussies last two games. And the Bulls rarely even ever win in Portland. So, you know, you factor all that in, Billy gets a lot of credit for that. And another thing I'll point out, too, will be interesting when Lowry does come back, and obviously Sato as well. We'll see how Billy goes with the closing lineups, because obviously you saw last night he went with the veterans with Kobe and LaVine. So you wonder, what he'll do with Kobe, Zach even maybe. I don't know. I think Zach will probably close, but maybe he closes with Sato, and then instead of Lowry, Lowry also goes on the bench with guys like Thad or, Otto playing as well.
Yeah, good call, Salim. Thanks for the phone call. And Salim makes a good point. We have to watch what happens because they've been playing their better basketball now. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of these games against bad teams, you know, the Wizards are not good. But Lauri Markkanen has not been here for these wins that the Bulls are having. So yeah, you have to look at the minutes and also factor in Thaddeus Young was not healthy and active when Markkanen was playing either. So how do the minutes shuffle out when you have 25 minutes for Williams, 25 minutes for Carter, 28 for Porter, who is playing really well, 23 for Young? You got to find 20 to 25 minutes there for Lowry Markkanen. Where does he kind of fit into this whole equation? I'm not going to, you know, say that they don't need more depth, but I feel like last night and what Salim was saying there, the coaching from Donovan, the way he maximized the roster to get what he needed to at the end of the game, that's kind of, I would guess, is what we're going to see. You get to under 2 minutes, you get to 3 minutes under in the fourth quarter, you're going to see the veterans get subbed in for Kobe or you're going to Patrick Williams or, you know, whatever it is. You're going to get Otto Porter out there. You're going to get Temple out there. You're going to get Thad Young out there. Those three are going to be out there.
That is what they're there for. And that's why you use these lineups. I want Kobe White to play. He should have been starting from the jump last year. But in game time, in crunch situations, you want your veterans out there. That's what they're there for. And that's the difference with Billy Donovan coaching the team now.
We have more calls on the Bulls. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Feels good to talk Bulls basketball.
I was ready for it, and yesterday was kind of surprising, I thought. Like, I didn't think that they were going to lose by 9.5 or whatever it was. Like, I didn't think they'd be out of it, but the Trailblazers are a good team, and it was good to see them compete. I didn't think they'd win, but it was good.
They're flimsy good. There's a perception because they had a nice run in the bubble that they are one of the best teams in the West. Yeah,
dude,
look.
I can call them a good team.
They're a good team.
Without you going all NBA round ball on me. Round ball black.
Well, I mean, listen, I feel like I kind of need to point out that, like,
no, I get it. You watch more NBA than
us. No, but like there's a lot of good teams in the West.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And like Dame was awesome last year. But like they give up a lot of points and you know, they were the eighth seed. And I get they got to the conference finals a couple of years, or they faced the Warriors in the playoffs. They got beat down by the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But it's, I like Portland because of this. I like that they keep running it back. You know, sometimes I feel like in today's culture and sports, like the moment you don't get past the first round is like trade everyone, you do what Houston did last year, where trading away all the different pieces and then you get a disgruntled superstar. Mm-hmm. I like that Damian Lillard is like, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be here, and then CJ is going to be here, and we're going to try and win together. Like, just, this is what we're going to do.
Just acknowledge that they're a good team. I said they're a good team. You can say, you're right, Adam. They're a good team. Did I say they were the best team in the West? Did I say they were one of the best teams in the West? I said they're a good team.
So are you saying I went?
You went round ball black. Yeah, that's the new. We're going to call it. We're going to call it right. Round ball black. And whenever you out NBA me, because I'm not going to pretend that I watch every single NBA game.
They're a good team.
You watch a lot of NBA games.
They're a good team.
And I, with my limited NBA viewing,
they're a good team.
The Trailblazers are a good team.
They're a good team.
Thank you.
You know who is not so much of a good team? The Sacramento Kings.
No,
the Bulls
play
the Kings tonight, so hopefully the Bulls can get back-to-back wins. Don in Northbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Don? Don's laughing at us.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
So I had a quick question. Black, I saw your tweet this morning because I didn't see the Bulls game last night about how he was distributing the ball and kind of passing up like all chances to shoot. Not all of them, but some of the poorer ones. And I was just kind of wondering, I haven't really watched the Bulls that much towards the end of the Boylan era. I kind of couldn't take it anymore. And I'm trying to get back into it now. So with a game like that last night, I'd almost think it was probably Levine's best game as a Bull, no? Or maybe one of them.
I think it's fair to say that because of the win. You know, we've seen Zach put up a lot of stats, but the Bulls have been a losing team, and it's tough to get behind players who put up a lot of gaudy stats, but they continue to lose. Last night was impressive because not only did they come back, they battled back, but like they seemed in control against, as Adam says, a good team in the Western Conference in the fourth quarter last night. I was very impressed.
You know, that's where I was going with this, because instead of looking like someone who was shooting because they felt they had to, whether or not they could do it, he looked like kind of like a basketball player on a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you nailed it.
I was just kind of trying to wonder, you know, so with someone who's trying to get back in with me, like what would – I don't really know about playoffs because you can make it in as, with a mediocre record as an AC, but then what would almost be like a good year for him and the Bulls then, like kind of maybe – getting closer to play like this on a more consistent basis and just kind of like a 500 record, or what really do you think is like their, I know they said they want to see what they have this year, but what do you think is like truly like would be a good, reasonable goal for them to shoot for?
Yeah, good question, Don. And my response would be before the season, I thought they should be around 500 trying to be the eighth or the seventh seed in the Eastern playoffs. And I think if they're around 500, they'll be in that conversation. We saw the East last year. Orlando was the eighth seed, and I think that they were, what, like eight games under 500? And then the seventh seed was Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was like two games under 500. I don't think the Eastern Conference is going to be that bad. I think the Eastern Conference this year, all of the teams that will make the playoffs will be right at that 500 threshold. And like if you – I know it's super early. Like no team has played more than like seven games.
Yeah.
But like, if you look at the standings right now, you're looking at teams that are around 500 are the teams that are like 8, 9, 10 in both conferences. And I think that will hold true for both the East and the West this season. So, you know, my thought on the Bulls heading into the season is you should be right there. You should be either the eighth seed in the playoffs, battling with the Hawks, with, you know, the Pacers, with those teams that are battling at the end of the playoffs. Get into the playoffs. This team has enough talent to do it.
They do. But again, I'm not going to be upset if they don't.
I just want to see development. There's no outrage if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they should be able to do so. They have enough talent to do so.
Yeah, they do.
So I think it's something to kind of keep your eyes on. And, you know, it's another year where the way this kind of started, I was worried that they were going to be behind the schedule. And what I mean by that is they start off not winning games. It's tough to make up the wins.
Yeah.
And so what
is good.
Especially
when you've got all these, like this West Coast trip, two back-to-backs. You know, like it's this season is going to be tough for teams. And even tonight, the Kings are bad, as Roundball Black told me. But I think that it's
all right, continue on.
Like it's going to be tough to win because you have a back-to-back, you know? Like, it's just
absolutely
tough to win back-to-back games.
Second night of a back-to-back, always tough. The road trip, tough. But, like, you start the season, you're 0-3. Okay, so your first three games into the season, you're already behind the... the schedule, right?
Yeah.
And then you know that you have this road trip on the schedule coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
Portland, Sacramento, the Lakers, the Clippers. The Lakers and the Clippers, you actually get a day off. It's a Friday, day off on Saturday, game on Sunday deal with the Clippers on that Sunday matchup. So, like, that's a tough road trip. You come home to face the Celtics. You get one easy game against the Thunder. Then you have Dallas, Houston. So, I mean, that's a tough stretch there where you're hoping to split those games. And when you start the season 0-3 and you see that, you're like, wow, you really got to figure something out. You get a win against Portland. Who knows? Who knows, right? Like, maybe you play a team like the Lakers or the Clippers on the weekend, and those teams are sitting some of their stars, perhaps.
Plus 225 tonight on the money line, just saying.
Oh, interesting.
Just saying.
Harold and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's going on, boys?
What's up?
So, actually, you know, just watching the game last night a little bit, too. Like, I think it's good to see that, you know, LaVine passing the ball, getting 9 assists as well. But, like, it's just, to me, what I want to see more is that the bench to step up, you know? Even though they only had, like, 28 points yesterday. But, like I said, it's a good win versus Portland. But I think it's a great start to start the road trip, you know? I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge fan of Coby White, man. That kid, he has potential, you know? And I'm glad he actually can help out, you know, with LaVine and stuff like that. But other than that, I want to hear your thoughts about this road trip. Because, again, I personally know it's going to be tough. But hopefully they can come out, you know, at least with 2-2, whatever the case is, man. But I'm just glad the Bulls are actually playing like a good team and a good solid team. So, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Harold, call again, all right, man? And I agree. It's been fun to kind of watch the early season here in the NBA. And I think the way last season ended, there was a lot of disjointment to me as a basketball fan. Like, I feel the average fan didn't quite understand who was making the playoffs, who was going to the bubble, how they were figuring it out, what, you know, the Lakers win the championship. They're always going to be the champions. But I feel like the NBA had a tough time really getting the attention of eyeballs of the public. And, like, now we're back to this is the normal time for basketball to be being played.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a, you know, it's something to keep your eyes on. If you're NBA executives looking to switch the schedule from playing in the winter and you want to get away from football and kind of have your own deal in the summer, I don't know. I don't know if people really want basketball in the summer. I think people like watching the NBA now.
I think they do, but there's something to be said about starting it in October the way they normally do,
and
no one's really watching
until now. Maybe December's the answer.
Because nobody's really watching those first couple months of NBA games. Christmas Day has always been the, all right, this is when teams start to take it seriously, so this is when we'll start to take it seriously. So I feel like if you're going to try to get more eyeballs would be on them if they started in December the way they did, because then they'd be competing with baseball in the summer, and I think they'd win.
Well, but you know, you say you think that they would win against baseball in the summer. We saw this last summer. The ratings did not show in their favor.
Yes, but
with this conversation,
there's a lot of other stuff going on.
Of course, there's other stuff going on.
There's a lot of things going on.
I do think a sliver of the pie with all the stuff going on is like people didn't really know what the H was going on.
Yeah, you had games on during the day. I don't count. I'm saying if you had a full regular season, normal times, nothing else going on, I think the NBA would win.
All right, I have something here. And I want to ask you, coming up next, is it something? That's the tease. This, what I have here, this information in my hand.
Is it something?
Is it something?
All right.
Or is it nothing? Next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Download the podcast, Black and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. I love our listeners. They're the best. E. Villanueva tweets us, boys.
Boys.
microaggression. The bad Sacramento Kings are -7 tonight. Abdallah, maybe NBA Chris Black doesn't know as much about the NBA as he says.
Round ball Black.
Wait, hold on a second. What do you mean? What did I say that doesn't...
They're trash. You said they're bad.
They're three and four. They've lost three in a row to the Rockets. I watched them the other night against the Warriors, and they weren't competitive whatsoever.
Okay, so why are they seven-point favorites tonight?
Because they're probably the home team, and the Bulls are on the second night of a back-to-back. And before last night, in last night's game against the Blazers, the verdict on the Bulls were like, they're not really a good team, right?
But they beat the Blazers.
I'm not making the lines in Vegas.
Aren't you?
So, E, Villanueva, you're coming at me. What did I say that's not true?
What is this backhanded approach to our fans? I love our listeners.
I'm just giving them a shout-out.
We've got the best listeners.
I agree.
Your tongue went so far through your cheek. It's not even funny. There's no more cheek.
He knows I'm joking. He tweeted me. I had to read the tweet. It's a good tweet. At Chris Black, at Adam A. Abdallah. I'm just saying, maybe NBA Chris Black doesn't know as much as he thinks.
Maybe
he does.
You don't. Maybe I shouldn't trust Round Ball Black.
I think it'll be a good...
It's RBB. Let's not get it twisted here. Round Ball Black.
Good matchup tonight in the backcourt, though. Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox going against Kobe White and Zach LaVine.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
All right. I have something here. I want you to tell me if it's something or if it's nothing, okay?
Is it a thing?
No, I said, is it something?
Is it something?
All right. So, you know, hosting radio shows and producing radio shows, it's like there's different ways to get to an idea. Right. So one is you
Venn diagram.
You have a thought, you have like a thesis, and you're like, I'm going to go do the research and see if what I thought matches the stats and the information and like see if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something I could use. Or it's like, here are some stats. And then you take the stats and you say, these are interesting. What's my thought off of the stats? Right. Like that's a way to get to the point. Right. Those are different vehicles you could use to come up with something. I had a thought, and then I did the research, and I have the information here. This is Bears related, and I don't know what the thought is out of this. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I need you, and if you can help us at 312-332-3776, I need you to listen to the information and the original thought that I had on this topic. And, like, what's the conclusion? And that's why I ask, is it something? Because it might not be anything. Watching the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Bears-Packers.
Saw it.
Watching Khalil Mack. Good. I've been watching Khalil Mack all season, questioning, you know, is he really doing enough to be, like, a top 10 player, top 5 player, best player on the Bears? Something to think about. I'm watching the game, and I'm like, when was the last time we had a guy like that? And the name, obviously, that came to mind was Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
And Julius Peppers, Hall of Famer, with the Bears. He was with the Bears for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack just finished his 3rd regular season with the Chicago Bears. So I thought to myself, all right, Khalil Mack, Julius Peppers, let's dig into the stats. Let's find out the stats. What do we have here? So here are the stats. If we look at these two players, Khalil Mack and Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers in 2010, 11, and 12. 3 seasons. His first 3 seasons with the Bears. I didn't add the 4th season because Khalil Mack has not gotten to his 4th season.
Hasn't had it yet.
Okay. And so I look at Khalil Mack's stats from 18, 19, and 20. And that's why I ask you, is this something or is it just they're both really good players? Julius Peppers in those 3 seasons, he had 2 interceptions. He had 8 forced fumbles. He had 30.5 sacks. He had 39 tackles for loss. He had 46 quarterback hits. And he had 130 tackles. 2 interceptions, 8 forced fumbles, 30.5 sacks, 39 tackles for loss, 46 quarterback hits, 130 tackles. That's Julius Peppers. Okay? Here's Khalil Mack, including the game on Sunday against the Packers. He had four tackles and a sack. Here's Khalil Mack over the last 3 years in a Bears uniform. Two interceptions, 14 forced fumbles, 30 sacks, 28 tackles for loss, 44 quarterback hits, and 44 tackles. So I gave you the information. There's the information. Khalil Mack, Julius Peppers.
Wait, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Read me the Julius Peppers stats again.
Julius Peppers, two interceptions,
yep.
Eight forced fumbles,
yep.
30 and a half sacks,
yep.
39 tackles for loss.
Yeah, I got that.
46 quarterback hits.
Okay.
130 tackles.
130.
Yep.
130.
Yep.
130 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Khalil Mack?
Khalil Mack, two interceptions.
Got that.
14 forced fumbles.
Got that.
30 sacks. He had a sack on Sunday.
Got
so
that.
He had 29. He now has 30 sacks.
Yeah.
28 tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
44. Actually, we should tick that up because does a sack count as a quarterback hit? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So 45
okay.
quarterback hits for Khalil Mack and 144 tackles.
Okay, that's not what you said. That's why I had you read it again. You said 44 tackles,
144 tackles.
144 tackles. I was like, wait a minute.
144 tackles for
okay.
Khalil Mack.
So what do you...
So that's the research. So the question is, okay. Sitting there watching Bears games.
Yeah.
You watch Khalil Mack play.
Okay.
You saw Julius Peppers play.
I did.
Is this something? Like, what do you make of that?
I see two Hall of Fame players.
Two Hall of Fame players, and that's the end of the conversation.
Well, I think that the conversation about Khalil Mack's lack of production, I think that people are really discounting the loss, and it's not really a loss. I mean, he opted out, so it's not with us. The fact that Eddie Goldman isn't there and the havoc that he creates and how much easier he makes the job of Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and everyone else on that defense is putting on these players. And I understand that, no, they are not the historic defense that they were in 2018. No, they're not as good as they were last year. They are declining. I get that. But you have to look at the injuries, and you also have to look at Eddie Goldman not being there and how much of an effect that has on Akeem Hicks and how much of an effect that has on Khalil Mack. And I think it's more than we give credit for.
Is this something? We're talking Bears with you in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.